Any other board members? Then we'll go on to the executive officer's report. Mr. Briggs, thank you for the kind report.
Yes, written report. However, I'll ask if you have any questions on the water quality certification table first. No? Yes?
A couple things. On two of the items, on page, let's see, the first one on page, oh, well, they're not, I guess there's no page number.
Yeah, there are.
Oh, there are? Where am I? Oh, on the top, okay. Page three, the first item, and then on page four, the last item, they're both permanent impact to wetlands, and the mitigation acres don't equal 3-1, as it states in footnote 2. It says, for wetlands, the mitigation is 3-1. And maybe I'm reading this wrong. So let's just take one at a time. The Chris Perry applicant says, permanently impact 0.44 acres of wetlands, and the mitigation acres is only 0.854, where 3-1 would be 1.32. Am I missing something?
Not obvious to me that you're missing anything.
Unless the word is generally in the footnote.
Where?
It's in the...
Oh.
It says generally. In the usually the core doesn't use a 3-1 ratio. It uses a smaller ratio than that. So I don't know where they got their 3-1 ratio here, and maybe that's why it says generally.
Okay.
The best I can tell you, Mr. Shawcross, is that I'll check on that because I don't have a
answer. Okay, that's fine. I was just, yeah, that's fine.
I have some knowledge on that one.
Oh, good.
Matt Thompson, a 401 program manager.
Hey, good.
I forgot that, Matt.
Yeah, it's another one in my hat. You're talking about Chris Perry's project, the meadow at Falcon Ridge?
Yeah.
That is a mitigation of 2-1 because the wetland was in a, my understanding, it was the existing wetland was in a degraded condition.
Okay.
And so our policy is that when a wetland is in degraded condition, we only require mitigation at 2-1, not 3-1.
That's fair enough. And then, okay, well, then how about the next one? The last one on page four, it's San Luis Obispo Airport Hotel. Is that sort of the same deal?
We're familiar with that property.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually right next to our office, that property.
Is that? That, degraded wetlands also.
Well, it's a unique one. That's a wetland that was actually created by hydromodification. It's not a natural wetland, but you know, increased imperviousness in the upstream has created this little wetland area. That that one is still in negotiation. We're still negotiating with the applicant. We're trying to get them to avoid the wetland. But I'll look into that mitigation ratio.
Yeah.
It's still not final.
I'm just curious. I don't put a lot of time into it, but and then I guess that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions on the water quality certification tables? Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that. Sorry, I forgot. On page six, we have a follow-up to a board directive to us to come back with some examples of some of these San Lorenzo River sediment actions to try to get more specific as far as sediment reduction measures. So that's what we've provided for you here. And I hope that was informative for you, a little more detail than some of the things we talked about previously. Any questions on that? Okay. Good. I think Katie McNeil prepared that one. And then also you asked us to follow up based on someone who came to the podium last time, I guess it was, or at the May 9th meeting, about the irrigation, the irrigation tape in Napomo Creek. And you might recall a couple gentlemen showed some photographs. So we followed up on that, and you can see what the follow-up was here, and it concludes with on page 12 there with some efforts to try to ensure that the recycling programs are utilized. There are recycling programs available for the tape. Apparently some of the problems in Nipomo Creek in particular are a little bit of a legacy problem where the current lessee, I guess it would be, ran into the problem when they started operating the property a couple years ago, and that's Hayashi and Sons. And another thing that I think it was after the May 9th meeting when I was talking with Mr. Schmidt of Preservation Inc., and he was saying that this is actually, unfortunately, a common problem in a lot of areas in the region. He mentioned Monterey and Santa Cruz counties in particular. With sometimes it's erosion where they might have sloughing of or cutting of a creek bank, and you know this would be an argument for having setbacks from creeks actually, because if the irrigation operation doesn't go right up against the creek, then the creek has an opportunity to meander a little bit without causing this kind of a problem. So there's a plug for setbacks. But anyway, his point was that it's not pervasive, but it does happen too frequently with ag operations, and it's something that they work on as far as they're working with their industry to try to keep it from happening and to try to clean it up where they come across it. So that's what we've got so far, and we're going to be following up with additional inspections. Yes.
We also have, you know, when we went to that ranch, it was a mess with drip tape. We cleaned it up, and everything that's in the creek and was there before we got there, and we don't own any of that. But we do have a service where we accept anybody's drip tape for recycling purposes at no charge. They do not have to take it to the dump. All they have to do is bring it to one of our two offices, either in Arroyo Grande or Santa Maria. So, and we've been doing that for a while. So there's no reason. There's no reason for anybody to
leave a check here for all the advertisement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do other farmers take you up on that?
Yeah, they do. They do. In fact, it's pretty effective now. So we have the little growers that, you know, one or two rolls of tape here and there. They're now bringing it into their yard, and we're recycling it at no charge to the grower. It doesn't matter where it came from, who bought it, where, or whatever. We'll accept it.
Okay. Good. Let's see. We already talked about the timber stuff on page 12, so that's done. And I just received in the last couple of days Dorothy Rice's executive director's report. I did email it to you, and I don't think we faxed. Did we fax it to you, Russ? Okay. All right, good. So one I was going to mention, we've already talked about, that's the mandatory minimum penalties. We brought that up when Dr. Wolf brought that up in his report. A couple other things I just wanted to mention. The once-through cooling water policy is on page 3. And by the way, I know you probably haven't had a chance to read this because I just sent it to you before our board meeting started here, so that's fine. I just wanted to point you to the fact that when you get back home, you can look at these things. So there's a little update on the once-through cooling water policy, and basically the State Board staff is reviewing the most recent round of comments that they received about a month ago. So that is cooking. The construction stormwater permit is basically in the same status where it says staff is reviewing the comments received. It says they got 770 comment letters, although 576 of them were form letters. The pretty similar status with the State Board's policy on our primary general permit for recycled water. It says comments are posted on the webpage. And let's see what else I wanted to flag here. Dr. Wolf already talked about the CalAm cease and desist order status. So you've heard about that. The strategic plan, the board members have been involved with development of the strategic plan sporadically for quite some time. And it did go to the state board July 1st. It says several board members indicated they would work with staff for the next several weeks to address some outstanding concerns. Staff will present the revised plan at the September 2nd meeting. And meanwhile, the draft plan is still on their website. Climate change, AB 32, which the governor signed a couple years ago, this says that the Air Resources Board, and they're the governor's designated lead agency for carrying out that climate change plan for the state. They released their draft scoping plan about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. And that basically says that proposes measures to meet the 2020 limit, the reductions in emissions for climate change or to reverse climate change. And the state board, the water boards, have been participating on five of the climate action team subgroups that are a part of this effort. And the ARB, the Air Resources Board, is holding workshops through the summer. And the water boards will continue to be involved with that. And I've mentioned to you before that I'm part of a three-region group that is kind of a subset, being the lead for the water boards with that effort. So we'll be plugging into that process. And that might be it. Let me see here. Oh, area special biological significant concept proposals are being solicited. They will be solicited October 2008 with the State Board to consider those proposals the first part of 2009. We have several ASBSs in our region. And then there's, we're in a bit of a budget crisis statewide. And on page 9, you'll see that there's Dorothy Rice has provided a rundown of various aspects of budget negotiations. One of the things at the tail end here, it says, a number of constitutional legal restrictions prevent the controller from making some payments without an approved budget. For example, the controller cannot pay vendors for services provided after July 1st. And on that note, we've had a lot of difficulties with that. There have been trickle-down problems with that over the years when we've had these budget crises because we end up narrowing the field of vendors that are willing to do business with the state of California when they don't get paid. So it's not just an immediate problem, but it causes problems on down the road. As also says, for example, the controller cannot pay salaries and per diem of state elected officials and their appointed staff, salaries and per diem of appointees and other exempt employees. I don't know if that includes me or not, but the thing I wanted to mention was students. And that we receive notice when we have, Michael, what is it, maybe 15 students now, thereabouts, which are a big help to us. You've heard about students helping Julia, for example, on timber harvest. And it's possible that, we don't know this for sure, but we may need to furlough the students after July, which is in, three more weeks. And that's not good at all. These students decided to work for us. Some of them had other opportunities with other employers, and a lot of them are dependent on earning money during the summer in order to pay for school. Some just hired recently. So that's not at all a good situation, and I don't know if there's too much we can do about it, but it's a good reason, one of many good reasons for the budget to get resolved, because there are all these different ramifications that a lot of times we don't realize with the budget not being in place. And you'll see that there's an appendix to Dorothy Rice's report, which is Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program Update for the Central Valley. I think they've agreed to alternate in her reports with having updates on the irrigated regulation of irrigated lands, alternating between the Central Valley and us and maybe other regions. So this time you can see what the status is with the Central Valley. And one last thing, as far as meeting here, just during the last couple of days before the meeting, we were told that we would not be able to meet in this room, even though we thought we had it reserved. And there was a mix-up there. And part of the problem was that we have to have someone from the city babysitting us while we're in here the whole time. And no one was available. So my understanding is, and you can correct me, Luis, if I'm wrong, but the Department of Public Works volunteered your services to assist us here today. So I'd like to thank you, Luis, for staying here with us, and also the Department of Public Works and the city for letting us use their new facilities.
Absolutely.
And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of the executive officer then?